I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Hello, and welcome to another segmented part of the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. I'm pretty certain that makes sense, and we're going with it because I can't be bothered to start again. We are covering the LA Rams in this small segment of a podcast that we'll be doing. We'll be doing 32 individual podcasts for each individual team. So if you just want to listen to the one that suits your team, then you can go do that right now. I've not got off to the strongest of starts, but I'm hoping that
neither will the Rams.
I'm hoping that the bevy of talent we have available to us tonight on the podcast will pull me through. So let's start off with James. How's it going, James?
Going great. We get to talk one of probably the most eclectic roster in the NFL.
Thank you for trying to sell it. It was a valiant effort, so thank you. We have Phil. How's it going?
I'm very excited to see the team that even the Cardinals might be beating this division.
Will, how's it going? Love a t-shirt.
Thank you very much. All the better for getting to talk NFL football with you fine gentlemen.
My new thing is I'm going to try and throw you off every time you do that. So thank you.
Okay.
But I do love the t-shirt. It's a very cool t-shirt.
Thank you.
And Alan, welcome back. Alan, how's it going?
Thank you. Yeah, very good to be back. Very good to be back. Picked a good one to come back to. I definitely know lots about this Rams team.
So much. so much. There is, I mean, it's hard to avoid, really, isn't it? This team is just like loaded with talent. 3 years ago, they won a Super Bowl. 2 years ago, they won a Super Bowl. We can start there. Is there any news we want to talk about?
Hopkins.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch finder general. Or not. The case may be.
Well, he's sadly gone to the team where receivers go to retire, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably in a better position than some of the other receivers that have went there recently. I think he's just slightly ahead of the curve of when Julio Jones went there, for example, and Andre Johnson and that. He's still probably got a season or two in him. Really good for Treylon Burks.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, because it's just a relatively talent-poor receiving roster now has their number one, which is a vast improvement. It's still not great. Even with him, even if you add DeAndre Hopkins, it's still like,
it's shallow.
Yeah, it is. It is, definitely. Any other thoughts?
There's two things to unpack with this.
Yeah.
There's two things to unpack, and they're big things. Okay? First of all, he was quoted as saying he wanted to go to a contender.
Yeah.
No, he's gone to Tennessee. The second thing he said was, in answering questions about potentially retiring, he said, I'll retire when I'm not a 1,000-yard receiver.
Mm.
Next year, then, yeah? Because, it's like, they don't throw the ball a lot. Not got to the best place.
Mm.
To be fair to Mr. Hopkins, it is probably the most Super Bowl contending team he's ever been on.
He thinks that's what a contender looks like, that. Yeah.
This one has a quarterback.
it's a very good point.
500? No.
This one has a head coach I don't hate.
Yes.
This is true. It's hard to hate that head coach, and every other head coach he seems to have worked with has not been wonderful. I was kind of out of the NFL when this was all happening. Is that the reason he didn't go to the Patriots in the end?
I don't think it's got anything to do with the current Patriots offensive coordinator being his former head coach.
That's what I was wondering, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was so much about that. I mean, personality clashes, yes. But he had arguably his most productive seasons under Bill O'Brien when he was calling plays. So yeah. I think it's if he's gone to the Titans, it's because they made him the best offer financially, as far as I'm concerned.
I think
that's what it came down to.
Like an extra $3 million over what the Patriots offered. Then the Pats were offering like 10 million a year, and I think Titans, I think it was like 13. So yeah, it's definitely a better financial option.
Yeah.
And you know, wide receivers typically don't do well all the time in New England. Sometimes.
When was the I mean, they've had some pretty good ones.
Yeah, but not for a while.
Yeah, I mean, who was the last truly great Patriots receiver?
Randy Moss.
It was Randy Moss, yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, you've had Wes Welker since then as well.
Oh, yeah, true. Edelman. I mean,
and Edelman, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jacoby Myers was pretty good.
Yeah, he's not great.
Put him up
no, he's not. Okay.
I mean, he can't put him in the same bucket as those other three.
Oh, yeah.
That's Randy Moss.
Randy Moss is the same thing.
Well, I'm sure if you asked Josh McDaniels, he'd say that. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Josh McDaniels is a moron. We've seen that.
He might be. Yeah, I think it's an interesting move. It's good for the Titans.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Good for them.
Yes, yeah. Very much. Yeah.
Like, they needed a receiver. they'd kind of gone out of their way to almost seem to be avoiding picking receivers up. So they finally did something. Yeah, it's basically Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins plus some other guys, isn't it? It's not like...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the Racy McMath stock is particularly high. Dude. So,
are you doing this thing where you make up names again, like James was?
No, Racy McMath was on the 2019 LSU team. He was fourth on the depth chart behind Terrace Marshall.
Behind Terrace Marshall.
Yeah.
Behind him.
He was. So,
yeah.
He was behind Terrace Marshall, who was behind Justin Jefferson, who was behind Chase.
Yeah. Like, it feels like it might drop off a little bit at that point, right? Like,
just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The top two wide receivers currently in the league, and then some other people.
Terrace Marshall, I think, might have a good season, but we'll get to that when we get to the Panthers. But, yeah. Well, it has improved. Like, I don't want to talk about Titans too much because they might be sneaky good. They might have actually done some things that might actually make them a decent-ish team.
I think Vrabel is sort of very much along the same lines as a Tomlin, is that he won't let his team be bad.
Yeah. I agree.
Do you know what is hilarious, though? I saw... I can't remember the numbers, so forgive me, but someone posted a list of Tennessee Titans with the most touchdown catches.
Mm.
So, oh, yeah, brilliant.
Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins vaulted to the top of the list with like 70-odd. Do you know who next on the list was?
I don't want to know, but I do want to know.
I know. Yeah. Tell him.
Go for it, James.
It's Mike Vrabel with 12. Yes. His NFL career touchdown catches 12 are greater NFL than the sum total of the rest of the wide receiver corps.
That's up there with Ben Roethlisberger being like the 10th highest touchdown scorer at the Cleveland Browns, isn't it? That's incredible. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, that's kind of made my day a little bit.
I think Nick Westbrook Akeen is like third on the list or something.
Oh my God. Any other news? Any running backs been paid yet?
No.
One took a significant pay cut, if that's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that, Will?
No.
No. Because running back Twitter will assassinate us all, I'm sure.
How are we feeling about the whole thing, though? It's a bit weird now, isn't it? Like, running backs are more prominent than they have been in the last few years.
Yeah, that is a bit weird. I got it a few years ago, but it's been seems to have been devalued so much, it's like massively overcorrected.
Yeah.
I think it's connected to positions. It's connected to sort of the concept of teams wanting to move more towards positionless football.
Mm.
So I think running backs that are legitimate three down backs that excel in all three phases are deemed as being highly valuable. But if you only tick two of those three boxes or one of those three, then the value drops quite considerably. And also, even if you tick all three boxes, once you get over that sort of 26, 27 kind of age range, I think the value also drops because there's that wear and tear. So, like, if you've got someone who is just a good, pure runner, but doesn't really deliver much else, and they're 27, 28 years old, they're probably not going to make an awful lot of money.
No.
I think as well there's a bit of fear with GMs or with head coaches because running back's one of those positions where you don't necessarily see a gradual decline like you do with receivers or quarterbacks. You look at some of the high-profile running backs that have just fallen off a cliff, like one season putting up 1,000 yards and the next season they're done almost. So there's a bit of buyer beware about that if you're giving out contracts to running backs.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook set to sign with the Patriots, they reckon, right? That's what the last time I read. Which I quite like. But the fact that the Vikings were happy to let Dalvin Cook go says that they can get just as much value with whoever they pick up next. It's concerning. Like, teams are not spending money on running backs. I think it's going to cut. Like, you do see some teams doing it. Like, obviously, Christian McCaffrey joining the Niners as a genuine difference maker. But I suppose the idea is that Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey, which makes him like a different breed from other running backs.
Yeah,
that absolutely. Being said, Saquon and Tony Pollard not being offered long-term contracts is interesting.
I think with Saquon, it's because of his injury history more than anything else. Because, we finally got a healthy season out of him last year. And yes, he was incredible. But as a GM, would you want to gamble that he's going to be healthy again? Because the general sort of majority of the time is he's not 100%.
Yeah. I'd rather wait a year and see what he's got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is why I think they franchise tagged him, because it's just, give him this year and then.
The other problem you've got with Barkley is because you took him so high, he's already actually made a significant amount of money compared to other running backs, because he got second. Because of the rookie wage scale, he's actually made, fairly decent money. And for it to get a league average running back contract, you're probably going to have to ask him to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
So that's another fine mess they've painted themselves into by drafting him at number two.
Josh Jacobs as well as the other one.
I was going to say, the real strange one for me is Josh Jacobs. How long have the Raiders been searching for a running back, and just the kind of mediocre production they've had at running back? They finally find themselves one and then decline his fifth-year option and franchise tag him instead of extending him. It's strange, but I guess McDaniel's going to McDaniels.
Just for Jacobs' own sake, I hope he gets out of there.
Yeah.
Tell the franchise tag him the league.
I get the feeling they'll be looking for a trade for Jacobs.
Yeah.
I know, but the rumour is the Bears have been sniffing around, which I quite love. So, interesting situation. We might see some running backs move before the actual season starts, I think, potentially, if they can't get deals done with them. Disgruntled running backs, maybe they'd rather just cut their losses and see what they can get done with the three, four guys they've got behind them at the moment. So, right. Speaking of depth, let's move on to the LA Rams. I don't really know where to start with this team. They won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Sean McVay threatened to quit and for some reason looked at his roster and went, you know what? Actually, I would like to stay with this and see it through. I don't know where to start. I genuinely don't know where to start. I mean, we're going to start on offense, okay? So, Matt Stafford comes back, right?
Yeah.
After injury.
Yeah.
They picked up Stetson Bennett in the draft.
Brandon Weeden, older 2. Than Matt 0. Stafford,
yep.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's likely Stetson Bennett might see some time this season.
Yeah. I mean, especially if the season goes downhill fairly early on.
Because Matt Stafford's coming back from a back injury, right? That's not like a small injury he's coming back from.
I thought it was an elbow. Was it not an elbow?
It was an elbow injury. He's had a back injury, though. I'm not making that one up, right?
No, yeah. I'm sure he did in Detroit, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
he's
so
pretty much had an injury. He doesn't matter whereabouts on his body.
He's just an injury, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think playing against that line in Detroit, or he's, I think he's just got, like, no ribs left in one piece.
Yeah. I like the fact you said playing against that line in Detroit as well, which says everything you need to know about them. But they are, of course, very good now, unfortunately for him. But yeah. The offensive line, I mean, it's not great.
Well, for offensive line information, we should now obviously hand off to our offensive line spokesman, Will.
Yeah.
Spokesman. I come from the nation of O-line.
The People's Republic of offensive line, yeah.
Everything's fine in the People's Republic of offensive line. There are no
number one country for sale for grill sales.
Yeah,
but yeah,
but no, you're correct. It's not very good. I've never rated Rob Havenstein as an offensive lineman. Joe Noteboom, he's all right. He's not as good as the guy he replaced.
No.
But
they genuinely thought he was going to be. That was the thought, that it's like he's just going to seamlessly come in and take over from a Hall of Fame offensive lineman.
To be fair to him, he hasn't played badly.
No,
but yeah, you're right. He is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman. He is replacing, and the rest of the line has also collapsed around him at the same time. So, and Joe Noteboom's not the problem, and he's fine. He's one of those players that you don't need to replace him until you've got a legitimate upgrade. He can just stay there and you don't have to worry about it. It's the rest of the line, I think, is the problem. Don't know what the rookie's going to be like. Don't know who Brian Allen is. similarly, don't know who Logan Bruss is either. So,
yeah. You're making up names again.
No, I'm not. It's all on our lads. I'm just reading it off our lads. Yeah, but I remember what the very first game of the year last year was Rams against the Bills. And I remember thinking, wow, the Bills are going to have a great defensive line this year. Turns out I was completely wrong. It was the complete opposite of that. The yellow line was just trash.
It's very easy to walk through Swiss cheese.
maybe they just want Matt Stafford to feel at home.
Like, that's it.
You know, just throwing it back. Absolutely trounced on every play. Maybe he won the Super Bowl and went, just didn't feel right, you know?
I've done too much time back there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking too much.
I don't think I'm bleeding internally. We've done this wrong.
I've not urinated blood for a fortnight.
Something's not right.
I had at least 2 seconds to throw there.
They're doing an Andrew Luck.
Did we jump offside or something? Just like this.
There is a lesson, Dan, isn't there, though? Mm. You look at this roster and what do we think the lesson is?
It's okay to mortgage everything if you're going to end up winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you do have to come out the other side and have this eventually.
Yeah, you have to.
It does happen.
This is their walk of shame. Yeah. They had their big night out. They had an amazing time, and now they are slowly walking home.
Yeah.
But they're slowly walking home from another town, about 30 miles away, rather than from the town they like normally go out in. Like,
and the reason they didn't get a cab is because they spent every penny.
They spent exactly right. They've got nothing left.
Yes, the town they're walking back to is Vegas.
They went for a nice meal at Pizza Express in Woking and woke up in Thirsk.
Why Pizza? I know why Pizza Express is working. I won't ask, but yeah, sure.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God, I didn't mean to say that. It just popped into my head.
They didn't sweat.
I'm sweating now, Will.
No, you're sweating, but the LA Rams didn't while they were in the Pizza Express. Hmm. They were incapable of
sweating.
You know
what? I think Sean McVay's sweating, though, because he was going to retire. And I think I've kind of worked out a few reasons why he didn't. Number one, he got married. Number two, he's got a kid on the way. And yeah, and I think it's kind of like, I think we realized that maybe being, you know, that NFL coach's paycheck thing is like quite nice, especially, you know, you've got your wife and you've got your new child and all of that jazz.
I think he might go down like McCarthy route though this time, which is that I've signed like a 6-year contract or whatever it is. I'm going to spend the off season getting massages. Just
no, I don't think that Sean McVay's like that. I think
that's my attitude. The Play Callers. Well. Yeah.
The Play Callers podcast series on the Athletic podcast feed.
Still haven't listened to it yet. Is it good?
You should listen.
Oh, okay, I'll give it a listen then. That good, huh?
He is not. I don't think that Sean McVay is the kind of person who does that.
No, I think he has full faith that he can win a Super Bowl with this team.
Because
he's Sean McVay.
It's quite interesting because on the series he talks an awful lot about sort of last season and sort of his disappointment and a sense of failure and all of that. Also about how kind of I get the sense that he also wants to kind of make it right, and I don't know. I think he I think he's very, very aware that he's starting again from the very beginning, as it were. I don't think he's under any illusions that they're going to be like an amazing team this year. But I think it's just, I think it's going to be very similar to that first season. You know, just after he took over from Jeff Fisher, that whole sort of like building something new. You may even find that he kind of changes his shtick even more to fit the players around him, because, you know, if you listen to that Play Callers series, he's quite open and honest about the fact that his version of that sort of shanty offense was built on the fly because, you know, it was meant to look an awful lot like Kyle's, but it couldn't because of the players they had. They didn't have any proper tight ends or anything like that. So instead of like having two tight end sets, he had to have 11 personnel because his second best run blocker that wasn't an offensive lineman was a wide receiver. So, you know, he's not averse to sort of changing his shtick based on the players he's got. And I think we may see, we'll probably see Sean McVay try to enter stage two of his evolution. How successful it will be, I don't know.
I don't. Time for a compliment. I don't hate the receivers.
Yeah.
Is that because the receivers are Cooper Kupp?
One of them's Cooper Kupp. Yeah, that helps. But Skowronek, I thought, was pretty good. Van Jefferson is the nearly guy always every season.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you look at one player for each position, you've got Stafford at quarterback, you've got Akers at running back, who showed signs of being actually a capable running back finally last season. You've got Cooper Kupp. Tyler Higbee has a decent tight end.
Yeah.
If you look at the headline player at each position, you think that's good.
Yeah.
Then there's the depth behind them just drops off a cliff.
Yeah.
And as the Rams are standing there going, well, if this isn't the bridge we said we'd cross when we came to it, it's like they've kicked everything down the road for so long and now they're here.
Yeah.
Bridge is broken. They can't cross it. There's nothing left. But if there is a coach or a play caller who could get something out of this, then maybe it's Sean McVay. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he approaches it.
If people want to convince me that Matt Stafford is actually a Hall of Famer, he needs this team to win a Super Bowl for me. If he does that, I fully believe it. I will start sewing his gold jacket myself. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
You're
going to get letters from Josh.
Yeah, and he's back on the scene now as well. So, yeah, I almost did it intentionally. Yeah, so that's the offense. I think there's some talent on in the receiver. We haven't mentioned Cam Akers just quickly, if anyone wants to mention him. He's a good running back.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know if they've necessarily got the dudes.
Yeah. I mean, bearing in mind how many running backs are on nearly every NFL team now as well. Most teams have like a group of three running backs that they can trust to come in and do the job for them. They do not have that.
Sometimes you can, you know, you well talked about the offensive line. You can be a really, really good running back, but sometimes you're only as good as the line in front of you. And yeah. is that going to be an issue for Cam Akers?
Yep. Unless Matt Stafford's doing some blocking, yep.
I will say one thing. Next year's draft's a really good year to have a top 10 pick.
Have they got one?
I think they've got a first-round pick next year. And I think if it pans out the way I think, looking at the offense, they've got a really, really good chance of that pick being top five.
Well, let me tell you about their defense, James.
Oh.
It is amazing. A cornucopia of people I've never heard of. And Aaron Donald. I was about to say, and there's other guys. Not really.
No.
Okay, this is according to our lads. So this might be wrong, of course, and it's always worth mentioning. I think we'll start with the secondary. Alan, do you want to tell us about the secondary?
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking at the secondary, your starting free safety is a guy called Russ Yeast, who never heard of him. So, I guess if he's your starting free safety, it says a lot about the quality of that position. You need to hope he rises to the occasion.
Yes.
This was much talked about. Before the start of the podcast, for anyone listening. So. Phil had also made that joke, so I want to give him a bit of credit as well. So.
I felt really bad.
Don't feel bad. Yeah. In all seriousness, it's trash.
Yeah.
it's terrible, terrible defense.
So someone who knows or watched more film than me last season, answer me this. Of all these guys who are like Madden regens, for all I know, in the secondary. Why is Akello Witherspoon listed as third on the depth chart at right cornerback?
James?
The one I'm looking at has got him at left cornerback. But
I'm on ESPN.
Well, so, our lads have him as the starting left corner.
Yeah. But
at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every single role in this defense is up for grabs. If you actually look at our lab, there are 18 defensive rookies. 18 of them. Of those 18 rookies, there isn't a single first or second round pick amongst them. In fact, there's only two of them are picked in the third round. And everybody else is either an undrafted free agent or a fifth, sixth, or seventh rounder. So they are kind of like the starters are the starters for a reason, because the rookie guys they've got behind them are like day three players. Akello Witherspoon will probably be the starter. Jordan will probably start a strong safety. Russ Yeast, by default, will probably start a free safety because he's played some snaps in the NFL before. Derrion Kendrick will be right corner for the same reason, even though he was a sixth round one last year. Kobe Durant will play. Well, I don't know. Travis Hodges-Tomlinson could compete for that role. He's not a terrible player. But yeah, the guys who are starting right now are literally starting because they've literally put on a uniform on an NFL field. But I think that's the only reason they are starting. I think everything's up for grabs right now.
They drafted Byron Young, right? And the general consensus was that, you know, it's okay because he's next to Aaron Donald. No one else, though. Like, no one else. It's not good. It's not a good defensive roster.
Well, I will say one thing, though, for the Rams. Throughout this era of FM picks, when they've been trading everything away to get their guys and go out and win the Super Bowl, they have drafted some really capable players in the late rounds, and you know, maybe not superstars, but guys who've come in and contributed and been able to play the position. So
absolutely,
but it's a big ask to do that with 18 of them.
Yeah, that's it's a lot. Yeah,
it's
Dormo, sorry.
I was just gonna, Raheem Morris has really got his work cut out for him. Yeah. Because, yeah, the cupboard's very bare. And I think it's going to be the Achilles heel of this team, because as much as we were talking up the offense, and I do think it's not going to be a terrible offense, assuming that the offensive line doesn't completely collapse again as it did last year, then they're just going to be in shootouts every week. And, you know, maybe the race to 40, whoever scores 40 first is going to win against in the Rams game.
Yeah.
Or just hope Aaron Donald can wreck enough shop on his own to cause. But I don't think it's going to matter, because, you know, you just get the ball out quick and he's negated.
I do wonder if, like, you look at the defensive, like, whiteboard, and it will be like 10 circles at the back of the field and then one circle with arrows pointing in 8 different directions, just kind of where he's going to go. And this is like, just let Aaron Donald be Aaron Donald. Everyone else just stand back and hope for the best.
It's the rare one-man rush.
Yeah.
I suppose you have the luxury, though, when you have a roster like this, of having the option of kind of reinventing your wheel a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can use the excuse, you know, the roster we have, it gives us the flexibility and freedom to actually try and do something different, because we have to. So, and I think also, if you look at the roster and where you are, I think it's quite hard to get sacked well with a roster like this, because I think 31 coaches in the NFL would struggle with this.
Yeah.
Maybe not Andy Reid, because Andy Reid would just find a way, but, you know, I don't think... I don't see how you could really necessarily, and it was horrendously bad, how you could really sort of justify sacking a DC that's having to work with what you've got.
Sorry, go on, Jane.
Yeah. This is that starting 11, that's not going to get a coach fired.
That's no.
An absolute tire.
Might get GM fired. But he won't get their GM fired.
And I will say something you guys referenced on one of the last pods I was listening to. I was binging some of the ones I missed on today, but at least it's someone like Raheem Morris and not Gus Bradley or Jack Del Rio, or, you know, these guys who just are stuck in the past and only know one way to do a defense. So there's he's at least, I think, got the ability to think, right, well, what can I do with these players, instead of trying to shoehorn them into his system.
Yeah. I think this is a silly comment, potentially. I think there is an element that when people go to study tape on this team as well, they're not really going to know what to expect from the defense, because no one's seen them before. And I do wonder if we might see, like, the first 3-4 games, them actually, like, surpassing expectation, only to then just be brought back down, straight back down to earth.
I was going to say, the expectation's in the floor, so it's not going to be difficult for them to surpass it if they play moderately competently.
Yeah, and then I think we see below moderately competent, like in the latter part of the season.
Yeah,
I think for them to have hopes of playoffs would require a sort of Brian Daboll style kind of, you know, Phoenix from the Flames kind of performance from the coaching staff. I don't see it happening with this roster. But what you can hope for at the end of the year is that you've done enough of a job developmentally to say, you know what, from this pool of players, we've got 3 or 4 decent starters or, you know, good depth players for each unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. So that's it. The Rams then.
Yes.
It's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Yes, just a little bit, yeah.
Just one last thing. They do have their 2024 pick, first round pick. And when they, if they keep it and use it, it will be the first round pick they've used since they drafted Jared Goff in 2016.
Oh my God.
The roster currently looks as it does.
No amount of being decent in the second, third, fourth round of the draft will ever recover, help you recover from that as well. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think if I'm reading this right on Over the Cap, they don't have any more dead money next year. So
interesting.
This is a season to, as you said, assess those young guys who can play, who can't, and then let's rebuild next year. We'll tool up and get some. Maybe no, hang on. I know why I'm not seeing it. Yeah, I'm talking rubbish. They generally don't have any dead money next year, other than if they cut players that are on their roster right now. You know, like guys like Jalen Ramsey and the ones they've got rid of, their dead money all got, and Allen Robinson, their dead money all drops off this year.
Yeah, it feels like they're taking it on the chin this year then.
Yeah. 74 million of dead money this year.
Oh.
Dear God.
Which is why the roster looks like it does.
Yes. Which is why each of us will be getting a turn starting for this roster at some point this season, yeah.
I look forward to my football.
Yeah.
They are absolutely in the Caleb Williams, Drake May, Brock Bowers, Marvin Harrison Jr. lottery next year.
They are.
And any one of those players could be the start of something.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
It's all right, I'm going to announce myself for the draft for next year. Clearly, they'll have space on the roster for me. Do you want a 34-year-old tight end with a dodgy angle? Yes. Yes. Well, that'll work really well.
Come in, says Mr. Belichick. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up there for this one. So if you want to contact us, hit us up. It's at Gridiron Gents on Twitter. We're not on Threads yet. We will be, though. We'll make sure we are at some point. And if you really want to discuss NFL, the best place to do it is come to the Discord. It's the pinned tweet on our Twitter. Phil, if people want to get hold of you, where can they get hold of you?
They can get hold of me on the Discord.
Excellent.
Where I am.
Yeah.
And you can get hold of me on Twitter at KnucklesHeavy7. You can get hold of me on Threads at Phil Knuckles.
Is Threads good?
It's much less horrible so far.
Good.
There's less mean people, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah. It's like Twitter, but less dickish.
Interesting. Will, do you know anything about Threads yet? You on there yet?
No, I'm not on Threads, as it happens. Okay. If you do want to get in contact with me and you don't want to join the Discord, the best way to do that is to hit me up on Twitter at Dougley Kleinbold.
Love it. Alan, people want to get hold of you?
Yeah, Discord, like everyone else said, or I'm on Twitter at AldoW83. I've not downloaded Threads yet. I'll maybe check it out if all you guys are on it.
I'm not on it yet, but I will be at some point soon. And James?
Come to the Discord. Come find me there. I am on Threads as well, but I haven't logged into Threads for about 3 or 4 days. So, but come to the Discord.
Discord is definitely the best place to contact us. That's the one thing I'd say. Like, it's the one that gets updated the most regularly. So, yeah, come to the Discord. Back day, maybe 2 days, maybe three, who knows, to discuss the Atlanta Falcons next. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.